He only heard L. So now L and what did they do? Because their vowel pointing's a little bit different. What do you get? All. But it's not the same God. Why? Because all is singular, one. The God of Abraham and the God of Jesus and the God of us is what? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trinity. All right, so now back to the point of what this text is. So Mary is sitting there listening to the Word of God, but she doesn't have what you and I have. What do we have that she doesn't have? The Spirit. That's correct. Because the Holy Spirit had not come down on us because Jesus himself had not died, he had not risen, he did not ascend to heaven, and he didn't sit at the right hand of God the Father, and he did not dispense the Holy Spirit at that time. But she obviously knew that something was special about him, and he wasn't just a rabbi, like Martha saw him as a rabbi. It's a rabbi, teacher, all right? So she's trying to take care of all these people, so she's caught up into the circumstance. What would you do if you had a bunch of people that you invited coming into your house? Wouldn't you have to get ready? Wouldn't you have to prepare? She didn't have servants. But there's a point that is interesting, and you'll pick this up later on, and you probably already know it. Who else is in this household? Lazarus. There's Martha, and then there's Lazarus, and then there's Mary. She's the youngest. What's unique about Lazarus? He was raised from the dead because he died. How long was he in the grave before he was resurrected? 4 days. Did you note what Martha said when Jesus said, roll the stone away? Now she said, I know that you are the Son of God. She said that, right? But obviously she said intellectually he's the Son of God, but she didn't have it where? In her heart. Because what was the first thing out of her mouth when Jesus said, roll the stone away? What did she say? That's right. No, Lord. He's been dead for 4 days. There is a stench in there. So what did that imply? She didn't believe that he could raise her from the dead. So now that's what we have. And we have then a lot of people like this who really don't. They say that they're Christians and they try to go through the motions. They come to church. They take communion. They have baptism. They do all that. But they don't know this. Now, let's go to another text. But before we go there, I have a question. All you men, how many of you guys are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Not counting me. All right, I'm not counting those guys. They're part of the ministry. So, question. Men, what are you in your household? Just Mr. Do-Goods that do what your mama and your wife tells you to do? You good man. That's not the other part I'm talking about. What is the Bible's requirement of you? You are the what in the household? Yeah, but he really ain't the head in that sense because he has to check with you first. Otherwise, he's going to get a lot of this, won't he? All right, so what is it that is required of men to be head of in the household? We are the what? You're close, but I need the specific word found in Hebrews. You are the royal priesthood. Okay, now you guys might know this. I don't know. Am I the guy and your pastor the only ones that we're supposed to know this Bible stuff? Or is it all of you? How do you know if I'm telling you the truth or not? If I'm leading you down the straight like what's that Jim Jones guy and telling you to drink the Kool-Aid? And guess what they did? So in other words, you guys are supposed to know the word. Luther even required it. All right? You can't even serve in the church, period, if you didn't have that. And that's what the term elder implies, or deacon, depending on the term you use here. You, basically, I'm set aside, so is your pastor, to do only two things. What is that? Yeah, that's part of it. What's the other part? All right, so two simple words, remember your catechism, word and sacrament ministry. Everything else is supposed to be taken care of by whom? The other priests in the congregation and in the houses. Now, why did God make that possible or demand that of men? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. When we go there, I'm going to read you Genesis chapter 2 for a specific point because it's very important. Genesis chapter 2 is the marriage text that we all get when we get married. If you got married in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, if you didn't, go back and get married in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I don't care how old you are. No, I'm kidding. In verse 25, I'm going to read this of chapter 2. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Okay, so what? What does that mean? Well, it's important when we look at chapter 3. Now, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. What's happening to the woman? She's being tempted by whom? The devil. Ah. Wait a minute. Guys, let's put ourselves in Adam's shoes. We were created out of the dirt, and we were named to be over everything, and we're supposed to name everything. But then we got whiny and said, but we don't have a helpmate. We need someone that can be a companion. So what did God do? He then takes a rib out and he gives us a woman. So what does that mean? Is that a gift from God? Do you take your gifts and just toss them to the dirt? Do you give it to a dog? So where's Adam while she's being tempted? I know a lot of guys says, well, he's out doing the back 40. He had the farm, right? Fishing? Oh, that's terrible. But they were told not to be at that tree. Am I right? Why is she there? Now let's look at something else. I want you to look at verse 6, and I want you to follow with me on that verse. And I want you to tell me then where Adam is. So, and I want you to remember your English. Prepositions tells you things, right? We're going to be looking for the preposition of location to tell us where Adam is. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to eat and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband. Where is he? What does with mean? If I say I'm with him, what does that mean? I'm right here. What happened, guys? That's right, because they don't trust us now, you see? Because we still don't do what we're supposed to do. And that's not really the problem. Why didn't they go and ask for forgiveness? Let's move on. I'm going to quickly go through these. So we got now, remember the nakedness thing? Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loincloths. Why would you do that? Why would you sew loincloth together to cover yourself up? If you were the same beforehand, but you were not ashamed, you must be now what? Ashamed. All right, a quick point about solar weather. I always like to throw things in of modern day times. Fig trees' leaves today are about this big, all right? They're not big enough to cover us, right? You have to have a bunch of them, and they tear very easily, so they wouldn't work. Well, that's because we have less CO2 in the atmosphere than they did. So more CO2 produces what? More trees, bigger green. And by the way, hot gases, and according to rabbis, they tell me that bovine flatulence is going to cause the end of the world. You guys are laughing. They're dead serious about that. Do you know why? All the methane that cows generate is getting up in the atmosphere and it's going to get ignited. Who said they're going to destroy the world? Man? God did he not? So there's nothing we can do to destroy the world. We can make it bad for ourselves, but only God is the one that is going to do that. So now back to the CO2. So they had big fig leaves. So yes, a giant fig leaf can easily cover you up, right? Now back to the text. So now what? Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and then the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out and said to the man, he said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? They already knew, I mean, before, right? In chapter 2, verse 25. Now, this is important because I want you to note where the response is. Before we continue, quit looking. I see you guys reading. Don't read, because ladies, I need you to answer this. Who brought about the sin of the world? Man or woman? Vote. Women. No? Well, one. Be honest. How many says it's the man? A couple. Three. Four. How many says it's both of them? The majority. We're going to find out who. Okay. Verse 12. Going back to English. There's clauses, there's prepositional clauses, there's verbs, there's the subject, there's the noun. You got to identify the noun with the verb, so don't get confused if the clause gives you that confusion. Now let's read it. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. Who is he blaming?" Read that again. You got the clause and the verbs all mixed up. All right, so gave is the verb, right? Let's find the noun. The woman is a noun, yes, but the woman give him something? No. The woman whom you, oh, pronoun. That sounds like the subject, whom you gave. Oh, that connects. So who's he blaming? Bingo. That's why men are responsible for the spirituality of their household. And it is the males who are continually not doing their job because each time, oh, am I too loud, sir? Okay. Because each time, what do we do? What did he just do? He blamed whom? He blamed God. Too loud? Am I too loud? Oh, okay. So we do what all continuously? You were in the Navy. When one of your junior folks didn't get their work done, who do they blame? Do they blame somebody? Or do they say, "I did it. I'm sorry, sir. I'll take care of it"? Yeah, always something else. Wasn't them. Oh, they did. Wow, he's an egotist. No, I'm kidding. So do you understand? That is the problem. So now we go to Eve. What did Eve do? She then does what? The serpent made me do it. He deceived me. So that's why she has the consequence. But who was put here first? Who was in charge of everything? Therefore, who brought the mess into this world? Adam. You get the point of why God had to come and waited 4,000 years to come as a man? He could have come as anything, couldn't he? But he had to come as a man to replace us through a woman. Now look at verse 13 at the very bottom, and he says then, "And the Lord said to the woman," this is now the promise of salvation. This is where the promise of Jesus is now given at the very beginning of the end of time. All right, so when the Lord said to the woman, "What is that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now go all the way down, and then you see down at the bottom here, he says, since the serpent, see, and the serpent ate it. I'm trying to find the point where she says, because of what you have done. So is it 17? Yeah, that sounds better. Because you've listened, no, that's Adam. So then he's getting that curse. So now we got to go to the woman. The woman said to the wife, and then she gets the childbirth problem. No, we can't. Is it verse 16? All right, that's birth pains, but that's not the actual salvation coming in. Oh, doggone it. How come I forgot that? It's here. So in other words, the text that you have to look it up. The text says, you, the serpent, your seed and her seed shall be a big divide, shall be separated. And he shall wound his heel and her seed will crush his head. So she's talking about from the woman comes a man. 15? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, verse 15. There you go. All right, but how can a woman produce a man? Only men can produce men, right? Her seed. Does the egg produce the man? No. Where does the Y chromosome come from? The man. That's why the sins of the Adam, of man, is passed on through the father. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Men, this is why it's very important for you to be faithful to God. Not just play around with it. You're gonna get blessed because of your father, probably, but you yourself need to be blessed because here's what he said, verse 5. What does it say? Verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity," what's an iniquity? Sin. Visiting sins of the what? What does it say here? Sins of the woman? Sins of the husband and the father? Sins of the parents? Who is he pointing out? The sins of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Any individual that does not believe in Jesus Christ has rejected Jesus. And we'll show you, I'll show you that in a few minutes here. So now look at the blessing, verse 6, but showing steadfast love. Chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, page 61. I'm at the top, verse 6. So chapter 20, verse 5 is at the bottom of page 61. Now we're at the top. But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So that's why, as a preacher, if I ever have, you know, going to bring a couple together and do a marriage ceremony for them, they have to understand, and I've done this in the military and also in the civilian world, I will not marry people unless they're of the same faith. This is the uneven yoking. It has something to do with race, because we all come from what? One guy. What's his name? Huh? Well, we do go to Adam, but he's got blown away. Remember the flood? So who's the next guy that had the three boys and wives? Noah. We all come from Noah. And those three brothers, those three sons of his, represents what? All of the different human groups, because we're only one, what? Human race. So understand your genetic biology and the phylums and so forth. There's only one human race, but we all come from Noah's, one of the three of the sons. Okay, so now, here specifically then, if you then turn to God and your parents have, you will be blessed. How many of you are Norwegian? All right, there's a Viking, two Vikings. Scandinavian, other Scandinavian countries? What country? Sweet, another Viking. All right, give me Germany. Any Germans? Oh my goodness, you guys are barbarians, okay? All right, from the north. Any French? Oh, no guile people from the Francian. You're a Francian? Okay, did you know that you're really a barbarian from Germany? You just called yourself, okay, but you don't like, yeah, you just don't like to be called that. All right. Okay, so amazing how the gospel reached you guys, and what did you do? Immediately transformed the world instead of killing and murdering each other. Look at what they've done in Europe. Look what you've done in the United States. These are the blessings that God has promised here that's being passed on to all of us. And it doesn't matter what country we come from now, those blessings are still being given to us, aren't they? Yes, it's amazing. However, the sins of the fathers are passed on. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, and then we'll conclude all this, wrapping it up. Romans chapter 10. Now, besides being of the royal priesthood, guys, all of the household of Christ are supposed to be what? Missionaries. Every one of you are responsible to present the word, not just keep it in your household, but to share it where? Everywhere. And you share it through what you do, and especially what you say. And we're going to get into that also. So take a look at Romans chapter 4, chapter 10, look at verse 13. Faith comes one. What? Oh, it's Luke. Romans. You guys got Romans? Who can read that one for me? 13, 10, 13. So, you guys remember Palm Sunday? Jesus is coming through the Eastern Gate. The kids are screaming like crazy. The apostles and the disciples are screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. What were the Pharisees saying? Would you cause them to quit making all that noise? And what did Jesus say? If I make them stop, what would happen? The very stones will cry out. You get it? So if somebody truly looks into heaven and says, who are you, God? Who made all this? I want to know you. What do you think God's going to do? You don't have to have a missionary. What do you think the word angel means? That's a Greek word that means what? Messengers. Anyone, anything can be a messenger. You understand? So if they truly want to know God, God is going to do what? So let's take a look at verse 17. Faith comes from what? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Verse 18, but I ask, had they not all heard? And what's the answer? Indeed, for they have all. The voice has gone out to all the earth, and the words to the ends of the world. There is no excuse for anyone not to know about Jesus Christ. If they don't know, and they reject you, and reject what you believe, it's because they've rejected God. And what happens then? Exodus chapter 20, verse what? 5 kicks into play. And that's what you see. Those who don't believe in God, their societies, countries, I mean, think about it. Hinduism, Buddhism was far older than Christianity. They existed thousands of years. But if it wasn't for Christians going over there, where would they be today? Now, we've built them up. India is still, if you compare it to all the wealth that they claim they should be having, because we gave them a lot of money, it's only gone to certain individuals, right? The people are still poor. But if their God was so powerful and they have three, then how come they didn't teach us and make us then become their followers? You understand? Now, why am I pointing this out? Because today, this is point number two, only God's word. Because I see a lot of people running around saying they're Christian, but they do things that are not right before God. Remember, he said in Exodus, I am a what kind of God? A jealous God. So back in my day, many of you remember, we had transcendental meditation, right? What religion is that? Hindu. Today, and a lot of you are going to get mad at me. So what? People are following what? Yoga. What is yoga? Every position, whether you know it or not, if you have been misled by the American teachers, believe me, they're going back to study, and they're bringing it and translating it. Every position is to their Hindu gods, one of three. So I was going to go and learn Tai Chi, because, you know, it's supposed to be good for your health and everything, and then by that time, I will be a karate expert. And then in fast motion, that I could defend myself, because I heard people who do Tai Chi, they can, it's Taoism. So I can't do Tai Chi. Now, we have the freedom to do whatever we want to, but why would you want to take your hand and just slap Jesus upside the head for dying on the cross for your sins? Is that true faith? Now we got another problem. Back in 1971, the discussions happened, and then it happened in 1973, and we have lost 50 million people to this date. From what? And every one of us accountable. We are responsible, for we are the what in this country? We are the people. Are we not? We are the government. Are we not? Those elected officials, they're supposed to be working for whom? And if your taxes goes to pay for these abortions, then you have done what? Done 20 million babies to this date. If you did the math and counted their offspring, now we're talking close to 50 million. Now, I ran into a Lutheran Missouri Synod, and this individual comes from the new generation, and she told me, Pastor, that is a opinion. Is it? Thou shalt not kill. Now, here's the problem. If you don't believe that you're born in sin, then it doesn't matter, right? Because all the babies went where? But if that text is correct, Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, the sins of the father are passed on to whom? So the moment you're conceived, you're born in what? Therefore, if without the word of God, how are you saved? What happened to those babies? That's why our country is falling apart. It has nothing to do with all this other stuff. It has to do with those who were supposed to be spiritual. This country was founded on scripture. The very first Bible that came to this nation was what translation? Do you know? What did the pilgrims have? It wasn't King James. They didn't like King James. That's why they fled to come here. Because they wanted to worship God their way, not like, and it wasn't King James. Who was it? It was King Henry VIII. Remember, he wanted to divorce his wife because she wouldn't give him a boy. And the second one he married, she didn't give him a boy either. And the third one didn't either. So when he died, he started the Bible. King James is now in power, his nephew. He went to his name. So, what Bible was it? Luther's, Gutenberg Press. So my brothers and sisters, security. I'm going to take you now to your confessions and to your, what we call Luther's two kingdoms. Is that secular or holy, that flag? It represents the United States of America. Is the United States of America secular or holy? Secular. That flag, it's a Presbyterian flag, it is not Lutheran, but it's the only thing we have other than the Roman Catholic symbol. So, is that secular or is that sacred? It's sacred, we'll just, because it represents Christ. So, what are you, secular or sacred? You should be sacred. When you walk out that door and you go out into the world and you go to the job, are you secular or are you sacred? Major point. People have said, do not mix religion and politics together. That's nonsense. If you are Christian, everything you do should be what? Christian. Your politics should be what? Christian. And you shouldn't have a problem discussing your politics with anyone because it's the Bible. And that's political. Because it says you cannot be a weirdo and have LBD, GT, Z, whatever. Almost got to the point I didn't know what bathroom to go to. That should never happen in a Christian nation. So, security, two kingdoms, we practice our faith wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We do it how we do it. That's the third use of the law. First use is, don't you remember your catechism? Curb. Stops everyone from killing us and robbing and stealing. Second use is mirror. And what does that say? You're a sinner. So when you sin, what do you need? You know that commercial where the guy's in that boat? Because you're a Navy man, so you have a ship, right? If you have a hole in it, what does that mean? You've lost your integrity, what's gonna happen? If you have a submarine and you got a hole in it, what's gonna happen to your integrity? You're done. We'll never get you too, especially down in the Mariana Straits. So, you guys seen that little glue stuff? I wanna know, I think it will work on a submarine. Remember what he does? He slaps that stuff on the outside of the boat, and what happens? Stops the leak. Holy Communion, that's that glue. Stops your leak. Your integrity has been salvaged. And you have Holy Baptism if you don't have Holy Communion. Now, why is that important? Well, because we do sin, don't we? But here's the third use of the law. We should then take the Ten Commandments, and we shouldn't just say, I know them, but we should be living them. Here's one that happened to me when I was a little kid. I found a wallet. It was black, had no name and no ID, but it had $20 in it. Can you imagine where my mind went? I'm spending it on all kinds of candy. If I go and spend that, is it mine? Therefore, what should I do with it? Now, no one's around, no one knows, but what should I do with it? Well, if I take it to the police, now it's no longer my responsibility. But if they say, hey, we don't know who this is, you can take the 20 and enjoy it. Keep the wallet too. Now what? What can I do with it? They gave it to me, so now I can, because they are the authority, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 states that you are to obey all governing authorities. So now, if I took it and says, well, no one knows, and I pocket it, I have done what to my integrity? I put a hole in it. It wasn't mine. Now, I'm using that, as simple as it is, so that you can build on it to everything else. God watches everything you do. He died on the cross for all of your sins. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, shall not perish. Continue on, chapter 3, to verse 36. It says, and obey. That's the part no one else quotes. Because if you truly are operating like a Christian and his disciple, you want to do what? Everything that the Lord wants you to do. So back to the point, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus, that in its entirety should be in your heart so you can think it, know it. And second point, only Scripture and God's grace, but the Scripture points you to God. And then third, keep it secure. Don't let the world tempt you and tell you, oh, you can't be Christian. Oh, you can't say these things. They're going to be offensive. Say them. Because by speaking it, you will save them. Go in his peace and in his grace. In Christ Jesus, amen. We continue then with our